Psalm for our meditation today will be Psalm 17. So please turn to Psalm 17 in your New King James Version Bibles. And let's hear God's word. And this is a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Jehovah. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. It shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Now the superscription, or the title given to this by the editors of this version of the Bible, call this a prayer with confidence in final salvation. And that's what it is. But again, this isn't just a prayer of David. This is a prayer of Jesus. And in the series that we're in, looking forward to the salvation that he is about to accomplish. When we see the suffering for sin and the death on the cross, we see that Jesus did not deserve it. David did deserve the condemnation of God, as do we all. And as we see this psalm opening, this prayer, this cry to God, to Jehovah, the God of the covenant, it starts out with a claim to justice, a claim to vindication on the terms of the person doing it. David, of course, knew better, and he did not call upon God to judge him according to his actions or entirely according to his heart. But in the Psalms, we see Jesus speaking. It begins, "Hear a just cause, O Jehovah," the cry out to the covenant God. "Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look upon the things that are upright." Here the psalmist says, "Open my heart and show all things to those, and see things that are righteous, things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing." Again, this is not something David could claim. This is something none of us can claim. As Phil talked or referred back to Psalm 15 in the opening today, and as the previous psalms speak of, we need to understand our own condition. The self-righteous one who stands before God on this earth, other than Jesus, and has the temerity, has the gall, the audacity — I'll use big words for you kids, you can ask your parents later — to say, "Judge me on my own merits, God, and see how good I am," is going to fail, is going to fall, is going to be condemned. But this, of course, being Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the one who has not sinned, he can claim these things. Even in considering the works of men, you see here, the psalmist says that he has kept away from the paths of the destroyer and calls for God to uphold his steps in his paths that the footsteps may not slip. And the purpose of the call, the purpose of the examination, is to call for justice. "I have called upon you to the Father, for you will hear me, O God." And you see there in verse 6, the small letters, this isn't the covenant name of God. Here he's saying just, "O God, I have called upon you, for you will hear me." "Incline your ear, listen to me, hear my speech," he says. Show your marvelous loving kindness, your mercy, your good works toward me by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you. And here we see the mercy of God being called out. And he's asking to be saved from those who rise up against, or he saves God's people from those who rise up against them. And in verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Children, your eye doesn't have an apple in it. And actually, that's not the word in the Hebrew. That's an old English idiom. What it means is the pupil of your eye. Saying, as a man guards the pupil of his eye, guard me. And there's stories that people can tell. And if this was a sermon, I'd go into some illustrations. But that's the thing that people guard very carefully is their eyeballs. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. As we read this part, we can get a picture, a feeling of Jesus as he's getting ready to be taken. I'm sure this psalm was one that he was praying there in the garden as he's getting ready for his crucifixion. And then looking to those who are after him, he says, they have closed up their fat hearts, or they have closed up their hearts in fat. It's an idiom that we don't really get here, especially in this current generation of Americans. We do tend to be larger than others. But the idea here is those who have taken care of themselves, those who are greedy and selfish people. With their mouths, they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey. And the idea here is they're going to get him. They're lying in wait. They're in the hiding places, waiting for him to come by. And Jesus calls out, arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Now, we know that he didn't save himself from the crucifixion. But remember, this wasn't, you see the personal pronoun here, the singular. Arise, confront him, cast him down. The one in view here isn't really the Pharisees and the Romans. It wasn't the scribes and the Sadducees. It wasn't even the mob. It wasn't Pontius Pilate. It wasn't even Caesar. But the one who was confronting him, the one here who is seeking to destroy the ministry of Jesus, was Satan. And here, as Satan is having his people work against Jesus, Jesus is calling to the Father to confront Satan and cast him down, break his kingdom. The thing that Satan thought would work to his satisfaction, to his empowerment, is going to be the means of his destruction. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. Not the sword of men, Peter was rebuked, but with the sword of God, with salvation. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life. And here we have an interesting little picture. Men in this world, men who don't know God, who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. Do you ever have anybody deny the concept of a common grace, of God being giving good things to those even who don't believe in him? Turn to this psalm. It says here, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure, and they are satisfied with children, and they leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. These, we're looking at people here who only view is on this earth, who have no mind for eternal things. And Jesus, as our older brother, as our example, sums it up here then, what's the greatest good? As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, not in judgment. And as we follow him, we can look forward to the day that we can see him in righteousness, not in fear, trembling, not waiting for our condemnation, but the love of God being shown forth. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And that's where we should have our eyes set. On the day of salvation, when we wake and see Jesus, and as we wake in righteousness, cleansed of sin from this earth, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Psalm 17, it is a prayer for looking at the final salvation. But Jesus was looking toward purchasing it, and then we sing it, looking forward to receiving. Well, we've received it in a way. But that last part there, looking forward to the day we awake in our new bodies, forever freed from sin, forever separated from sin, and to see our God face to face. We're going to sing the final part of that, and let's sing this joyfully, looking forward to that resurrection day, 17C.